Hi everybody, hi YouTube, welcome to this week's Healing Meal. We're in the garage today. Recording live down here. We'll do it down here, I guess, from 12 o'clock on a Sunday. So if you're looking for, if you want to come, you can come. Amen. Can we just get into the presence of God, because that's the only thing that matters. His actual presence, feeling him, knowing him, being one with him, and him permeated through your entire being, through your mind, through your skin, through your eyes, through your heart, through your soul. Everything inside of you needs to be possessed and totally full of God himself, the Holy Spirit, the anointing of God. The Spirit of God is the anointing of God, and it's the anointing of God that breaks the yoke. It's the anointing of God that goes forth through your body, and it changes the atmosphere, it changes your circumstances, it changes your heart, transforms your family, your friends, your life. It brings you into the destiny and catapults you into the very thing you've created to do on this earth. So it's the anointing that is the most important thing, because he's the only one that can do it. So you can do all church you like, but at the end of the day, if it's not the anointing on your life, then it's irrelevant and it won't change anything. So that's the important thing, the anointing, the presence of God himself. And they don't talk much about him, because the anointing, once he starts to manifest, he will change everything. And he will purposely move people out of their comfort zones, and he will command that programs change and things change. So when people want to stay in their old way, and the anointing comes and he commands that people come out of those programs so he can manifest what it is he wants to do, people shut down what he's trying to do so they can continue to do the very thing that they want to do that pleases them, and it doesn't please the Father. So the anointing lifts off what they've been called to. And then they try to do it out of their own flesh or out of their own mind without the power of the Holy Spirit behind them, and it never succeeds. And that's how they get demonized and full of iniquity and sin, because now they've come apart from God or apart from the anointing, because that's what sin is, when you're separated from God, right? So when the anointing has lifted off you and you've been separated from God, you fall into sin and you begin to start to work out of your own flesh to try to achieve the very thing that he started in the Spirit, because you failed to still be led by his Spirit, because you wanted to do it your way instead of his way. And his way is never going to be an easy way. His way is always going to follow what? Persecution. It's going to follow, you're going to have offense. You're going to have all these things that follow your walk, because the anointing will always go against what the secular is trying to do, or even against what the worldly, soulish church is trying to do, or religion. He will always come against that, and he will try to move you away from that. And that'll take a bold and courageous person to be able to stand in the day of the Lord and say no to all those things, regardless of what it throws at them, to be able to walk in the presence of him. He won't walk in iniquity. He won't walk in transgression. He won't walk in any of the fruit of Satan. He walks in the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And you can always tell them by their what? Their fruit and their love for one another. Amen. It's the truth. And this morning the Lord said to me, they need the anointing. And then he said, I'm going to do a new thing. Behold, I do a new thing. Right in Isaiah, behold, I do a new thing. And then he said, see if you can what? Perceive it. I'll read it out of the... He's been speaking to me this week about taste and see that the Lord is good, right? Taste and see. Shaka. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it, right? Do you not perceive it? Which means, and when you say, when you hear the words, when you see the taste and see that the Lord is good, taste there in the Hebrew means to perceive it. So do you perceive it? And to perceive it or to taste something means that, can you experience the new thing that God's about to do? Or do you have any experience with it. Taste means to experience, and perceive is the same thing. So to taste and see that the Lord is good, or to, can you perceive the new thing that I'm about to do, means that you are, that you can you can experience it because you're one with the Lord. So you experience what His Spirit's doing. You experience the things that God experiences, all His emotions, all the things that He's doing in the earth. You know what He's doing because you're one with Him, and then you experience it. Okay, so experience there is an important thing, because you can't read about it and learn about it. It's becoming one, or yada. When you yada Him, it means in the Hebrew to become one with. You yada the Lord, and then you can feel and you know and you understand, and the seven spirits of God manifest through your life. You can understand, you know, you feel, you see, you taste, you know. Amen? You experience the Bible, or you experience Jesus. You don't just hear about Him, you don't just learn about Him, you don't just see about Him, you don't just go to church on a Sunday to hear about Him continuously and never have an experience with Him Himself. How can you taste and see if the Lord is good if there's no experience? But people are not, they only go in for a little bit, or they're trying to get what they need to get from Him from a pew on a Sunday, right? And you're sitting there on a pew on a Sunday for an hour and a half, and maybe an hour of fellowship afterwards, and maybe 1 hour connect group through the week, but you're still having no experience with the Lord because you're trying to get it from other people instead of from the Lord Himself. And so, you know, what are you doing with the rest of your time? Are you being discipled by the Holy Spirit, or are you being discipled by other things in the world? You know, what you listen to, what you hear, what you take in, how you spend your time. It's all about what word you're eating, where you're feeding, where you're eating. Who's replenishing your spirit? Where are you getting fed? And is it bringing spirit? Is it bringing life to your spirit? He's a life-giving spirit, it says. He's the second Adam, and He's the life-giving spirit. So He brings life, and He energizes you. So when you hear the word and it energizes your spirit and it moves you into the things of God, or into the destiny that He has for you, you know you're eating at the right table. Or are you eating at a table of demons where you're just feeding in, and all you're getting is death and hell and condemnation and just religious garbage that does nothing for your soul, it does nothing for your spirit? And people will sit and feed off that table continuously, still hoping and praying that something's going to change in their life, and nothing ever changes. It's because they can't step out of it, because they've got that heavy yoke upon them, and there's no anointing in there to break it off them. Right? And as soon as the anointing tries to break through into those type of chambers, he's kicked out. So that's why there's so much oppression on the Christian, or so much oppression on the church. Like, I've seen so many Christians, they're under so much oppression, where they should be walking in the most power that any person on the earth is walking in. They've got God inside of them, you know? So it's frustrating to see, because they have Him, but they're under all this religious garbage that condemns them and keeps them oppressed. And they can't break through it, or they can't break out open. They can't get it lifted off them, because the anointing's the one that does it. And they're too scared to come out from those structures to experience the real gospel, who's not inside the buildings. If He was inside the buildings, the roof would be bursting off them every single day with the power and the experience of the gospel inside of their lives and inside of those buildings. It's the truth. I'm telling you the truth. Not just a little bit of healing and a little bit of this and a little bit of that. We need the real deal gospel bursting and manifesting through all people. All Christians. Every Christian that has God inside of them has the power of the anointing inside of their bodies. But He just needs to get let out, you know? And so you speak His word out, and it brings it to life. It manifests it in your atmosphere. You know, not a dead letter that kills, but with the life-giving spirit mixed with the word, and you're breaking open atmosphere and realms. But, you know, it's a continuous thing that you do. You're always speaking it. You're always resting in His presence. It's all about Him. It's a hunger, right? Those who are hungry get fed. That's the truth, eh? Isn't that the truth? Those who are hungry get fed. They'll find food. The hungry ones, the hungry church, will always seek out the food, and they'll find it, and they'll be fed, and they'll be replenished and full. And they'll be called out ones, and they'll go and walk in the way of the Lord. They'll go and do the thing that He's called them to. There'll be no fear of man. There'll be no people pleasing. They'll experience God truly through their bodies. And their bones will shake and they will rattle because of the fire of God that burns inside of their bones. And everywhere they walk, the demons have to flee. Everywhere they walk, God comes, you know, He takes authority in every step that they take. Amen. That's the truth, guys. I'm telling you the truth right now. Holy Spirit, I'm so full of Him right this minute. I feel like my face is numb. Oh, sugar. There's no greater presence. There's nothing better than just continually feeling His presence in your body. Through all of your being. The heart manifested. So we experience the Bible. You know, the Bible, all the way through the Bible, is supposed to be experienced. Not just meant to be read. You actually experience the Bible. You know that? And that's how you know the anointing is the king, because you've experienced the Bible for what it really is. So you don't even get into debates with, you know, religious demons. You don't even bother with it. You just continuously grow in that glory, and you continuously experience more and more of His glory, because His glory is so great. You can't experience it all in one go. And so we go from glory to glory to glory, where we go in different, we have different experiences that manifest His glory through our lives. It's a discipleship of the Spirit, or it's a discipleship of the Holy Spirit, or a training of the Holy Spirit, like it says, you know, in the Bible, that, you know, they will all be taught of God. You know, these called out ones, or these chosen ones who have given up their lives, who have surrendered their whole heart and come into actual covenant marriage relationship with the Lord Himself. Those ones have experienced the glory in such an incredible way that their life is completely changed forever, and they've walked through the Bible as if it's a reality for their lives. So there's no more of the religious debates or trying to convince people of the of who's real and who's not. It's more of just a greater hunger for more experience in the deeper things of what the Bible holds for us. That experience of the passion and the fire and the love of the Father through the words of Jesus Christ, which is Scripture. Amen. Thank you, Jesus, for it. Thank you, Holy Ghost, that you bring life to these words, and that His words have come alive inside of our spirit because of the power of the Holy Ghost, who we've got as a free gift because of our belief in Jesus. Amen. That's it. That's an amazing package that He gives us. Thank you, God, for it. What's the time? Whew, shaka, I'm wrecked. It's the fire. Holy Ghost. Thank you, Jesus, for it. What is it? 16 minutes. It's only a 16-minute recording. It's not very long. I'm so raptured right now. You know, the rapturing of the bride of Christ is the rapturing into the glory cloud. You know, the rapture of the bride of Christ is a rapture into, straight up into, the heart of the Father, where you experience the Word of God in actual reality. Oh, thank you, God. What an amazing gift. No more trying. It's all about agreement. And I said that in worship, that the new covenant is just all about agreement. Isn't that amazing? So the old covenant was like a bunch of rules that we had to follow. It was tutoring us, teaching us, training us to try to keep this these laws, but the new covenant is all about our agreement. That's that free will, you know, our agreement with the truth, or our agreement with the word of God, or our agreement with what he's already done, right? Which is the word. He's already done, and he said, so there's no more having to do. It's just been done, and now we agreed with that finished work. Isn't that amazing? And now that, because of our agreement, we can just relax in peace and let him be God through us. And he just is. Hey. How incredible. Because there's power in the truth, right? So if there's no power, then what are you agreeing with? There's no agreement. You're not agreeing with the truth. The power comes through the agreement. It's a signed contract, a marriage covenant with the Lamb of God, the King of Glory, the Holy of Holies, the priesthood of Melchizedek, where we feast and we eat and we drink and we engage and we encounter and we just enjoy the fruitfulness of what he's already done, that spirit. And like I said last week, it's like his fruit, or the fruit of the Holy Spirit, is just made manifest through our lives naturally, with no effort from us whatsoever. We're not required in this thing at all. We just get to partner with God in it. You know, he just uses us, you know? Amen? Shaka! Hey! We get to partner with God in it. There's no effort on our end whatsoever. He's already done it. And we just agree with that. So it's effortless. And effortless. Effortless. Amen. He doesn't even need us to do this, but he allows us to partake in it. So then we are partakers of the glory, and we get to experience what he experiences through our submission of our spirits to his spirit. Through our submission of our soul to his spirit. Amen. How good's that? There's no more trying, no more frustration, competition, trying to achieve the things of God. Lord, your name. This is Psalm 8 in the Passion Translation. Lord, your name is so great and powerful. People everywhere see your splendor. Your glorious majesty streams from the heavens, filling the earth with the fame of your name. You have built a stronghold by the songs of babies. Strength rises up with the chorus of singing children. And this kind of praise has the power to shut Satan's mouth. Childlike worship will silence the madness of those who oppose you. Look at the splendor of your skies and your creative genius glowing in the heavens. And when I gaze at your moon and your stars, mounted like jewels in their settings, I know you are the fascinating artist who fashioned it all. But when I look up and see such wonder and workmanship above, I have to ask you this question. Compared to all this cosmic glory, why would you bother with puny mortal men? And I like that in the new King James. So I'll just quickly read it. Like, why would you even bother with us? You know, why do you bother? You don't have to, so why do you even? So patient with mankind, you know, so patient with humanity. He just waits and 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 waits. Like, the patience of God is amazing. Just waits and waits and waits until his children wake up and until they're ready to come into agreement what was already done. It's incredible. It's incredible. Out of the mouth of babe, do to do. I'll tell you. Compared to this cosmic glory, for what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with the glory and honor. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands, and you have put all things under his feet. You see what he's saying there? You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. So he's given us authority and power to create and to manifest whatever it is we want according to his spirit and his will. If we agree to it, if we come into agreement with it, and we let him manifest, we have all authority and power, and everything is under our, he's put all things under his feet, right? All sheep and oxen, even the beasts of the earth. That's, we'll read it from this one. So why would you bother with puny mortal men or be infatuated with Adam's sons? Yet what honor you have given to man. Created only a little lower than Elohim, or he created even a little lower than the angels, right? Crowned like kings and queens with glory and magnificence, as lords of creation, you have delegated to them mastery over all you have made, making everything subservient to their authority, placing earth itself under the feet of your image bearers. Amen. And the I'll read the footnote where it says, today all things are not under your feet, even mosquitoes will come to defeat us, but there will be a time of restoration before, because of Christ's redemption, when everything will rest beneath our authority. All the created order and every living thing of the earth, sky and sea, the wildest beasts and all the sea creatures, everything is in submission to Adam's sons, which is you. Lord, your name is so great and powerful. People everywhere see your majesty. So what glory streams from the heavens, filling the earth with the fame of your name? Amen. That's what he said to me this morning. Behold, I do a new thing. They need the anointing. And the anointing is the authority and their power to overcome. Without the anointing, you can't overcome, because everything's under the feet of the Lord. Like, he's put his feet, he's stamped his feet upon everything. So if you need that power, you need that authority, it's the agreement with the anointing himself. And then he manifests himself through your life. There's no more trying. There's no more pressure. There's no more frustration. There's no more trying to achieve something through your own will. Working. It's just an agreement with him, and now he does it so effortlessly, and you'll know it's the Lord because it will work. And if it's not God, it won't work, and you don't want it anyway if it's not him, because it's not going to last. It won't sustain. It will always require your effort, and you will burn out, and it won't work. His spirit or his power and his energy will energize the very thing that he's called you to do every time you agree with him. It's just an agreement. Thank you, Jesus, for it. Let him manifest through your life, through your soul. Renew your mind by reading the word out loud, getting Psalms out loud, reading the word with your spirit mix. It changes the atmosphere, which gets rid of everything in the spirit realm that's trying to block and oppress and hinder, because it's always coming to divide, and the Lord always comes to break the yoke or break the yoke of oppression. So you speak into that oppression through his word. Even though you don't understand it, you still do it, and it works for you. Right, that's what the word of God does. Isn't that amazing? He does the work for you. You don't even have to understand it. Your mind will catch up with it later as your spirit gets stronger and grows and starts to push out through your soul. And then you start to catch up and get the revelation later on. And you can look back and go, oh, that's what you're doing. I had no clue, but I was obedient to your spirit. I was obedient to what you were telling me to do. So I followed the leading of the spirit. And because of that leading of the spirit, you built something that I didn't even understand. And now I can look back. So I had nothing to do with it. I look back and go, wow, that's what you did. So he always gets all the glory. His glory is what always is the power. And then that gives you favor with man, favor with everybody. And then his glory is your soul subservient to his glory. And he's always crowned. You're crowned with the King of Glory, or you're crowned with the glory. So it's never your words. You look back and you go, wow. Always obedient to that walking of the Spirit, leading of the Spirit. Anyway, God bless you guys. That's the end of it this week. I've got to go tithe into Royal Street Ministries. Meredith at RoyalStreetMinistries.com. We'll go to the website, RoyalStreet.com. And don't forget, we've got Empowered Women Foundation, which is food help for people if you need it. And we're down at Liverpool, Penrith and Mount Druitt and Mount Pritchard at the moment. So if you need help, give us a call. Or you can get it from the website. Good to speak to you all. And see you all next week. We'll be down here next week, 12 o'clock in the garage. God bless you.